on the Fan Guest Hotline, powered by Gruber Law. You can see his pretty mug on a picture because he's not with us in real, well, how would you say that? I mean, you're here in real life. I don't know. The Fan Guest Hotline, powered by Gruber Law. He is Paul Bredel of a Packer beat writer for ESPN La Crosse, Wisconsin. Follow him on Twitter at @Paul_Bredel. How are we doing, Paul?
I'm excellent, Sparky. Happy to be talking Packers with you.
Absolutely. Let's talk about the trade last night with the Philadelphia Eagles. You get a sixth-round pick in 2027. You give up. You get back an offensive lineman from the Eagles, and this dude is like a legend because he's gone the last couple Super Bowls regardless of what team he's on. So that means the Packers are going to the Super Bowl. Were you surprised by the move?
No, not at all whatsoever. I mean, coming out of that Colts game, the second preseason game, the post-game article that I wrote was just about the unsteadiness of the offensive line depth. We know the Packers have a very, very solid top six guys, right? We're not concerned about that group. But if we look around the NFL and some of the injury data from just last season, teams oftentimes need not just a sixth lineman, but a seventh and sometimes an eighth offensive lineman that you can count on. And throughout the summer, the guys competing for those seventh, eighth, ninth spots, Anthony Belton, Donovan Jennings, Jacob Monk, were very up and down at best. Belton had the penalties. Monk's dealing with an injury as of late. Both him and Jennings had very, very sporadic play. The depth of that group was very much, to me, you know, watching these practices day in and day out, a big question mark. Nobody was consistent enough. Nobody was really stepping up to secure that, you know, final roster spot and taking advantage of that opportunity that was there. So going out and making addition was very much on my radar and during my or on my final roster prediction. I even wrote that in during the offensive line section. And so when you get a player like Kennard, someone that the Packers had in during the pre-draft process, can play tackle, can play the guard position, and really he just gives them another option off the bench at the offensive line position, which again, for all the reasons mentioned, they definitely needed a boost in depth.
You know, the other thing, talking about this situation, the offensive line, is this Jordan Morgan, Rashid Walker thing that drives me nuts. Because I think if you look at it, if Banks back is going to continue to act up throughout the season, you have Jenkins who got hit in the back. If those are going to continue to be issues, then Sean Ryan's going to be playing center. Jordan Morgan probably is going to be playing right guard. Jordan Morgan could be playing left guard at this point. Who knows? Don't you think it's fair to say at this point right now that Jordan Morgan probably is going to play more guard this year than he is tackle?
I think that's very fair to say. I mean, just given the, like you mentioned, the injuries and Aaron Banks being sidelined this last week with a back injury. I mean, that's something that this summer specifically has been reoccurring. You know, he's missed a few other practices here and there. So there's going to be that unknown going into the year with him. But I do know the coaching staff has spoken very, very highly about Jordan Morgan and his play, especially in the preseason games, the family night scrimmage, kind of those bigger moments during the summer, really impressed with how he stepped forward and played. And then you have Rashid Walker, again, 35 starts under his belt. And coming into the summer, I was very, very adamant that, you know, I firmly believe that Rashid Walker is going to be the starting left center for the Packers. And I still feel that way. But again, for the reasons mentioned with Morgan's performance, I've waned on that confidence a little bit. But if everyone is fully healthy, this is the point that I'm at right now. I think if everyone's healthy on the offensive line, I think that we're going to see a rotation at left tackle in games, like we've seen with Rashid Walker and Yash Nyman, Runyon and Ryan and Morgan. And a couple weeks ago, you know, middle, early portion of training camp, Adam Stanovich was at the podium talking with us, and he said, you know, we're not afraid. If we feel that we have six guys, seven guys that are worthy, deserving of playing time, we're not afraid to do a rotation. And obviously we've seen that from them during the regular season over the last couple of years. So everyone being fully healthy, that's kind of what my guess is in terms of how they get Jordan Morgan involved in the offense. But like you said, he provides them with a ton of flexibility because he can play four of the five positions on the line.
I have never, ever heard a veteran offensive lineman that was any good ever say, yeah, I really support this rotating offensive lineman in next to me throughout a game. Like, this is just a great idea. Just absolutely love it. I've never heard anybody like this. The dudes that aren't playing in the trenches, the dudes that are sitting over there holding a clipboard, oh, yeah, this is great. We're just going to rotate guys in and let all these other dudes have to deal with it. Let Aaron Banks have to deal with the chemistry of playing next to a different guy every time they get the football. It is dumb. It's been dumb the entire time that Matt LaFleur has done this, him and Stenovich. I completely am against it 100%. If you don't have the guts to make the move, then don't make the move.
Yeah, that continuity component that you mentioned, it's so vital to offensive line play, right? That's a position where the sum of the parts are greater than any one individual. You can have the best right tackle in football, but if the left side of your offensive line isn't very good, your overall offensive line play might be average at best. And so that continuity component's important, and when you're moving players in and out, it is something to be mindful of, because it's not just, you know, if you're the left guard, knowing what your role and responsibility is. Of course, that's important, but in specific situations, if there's a blitzer, if there's a stunt, if there's a twist, knowing how the guy next to you is going to respond in those situations, Like that's really, really valuable information to have, because that can dictate, again, you have your responsibility, but maybe how you attack your responsibility. And Adam Stenovich's, I guess, rebuttal to that would be that they've been rotating these guys throughout the summer. It's something that they've done a lot of, right? And we've seen it, we've talked about it. So you're still building that continuity, that chemistry that then can hopefully carry over into the regular season. But again, from just a fundamental offensive line point and what you most teams are trying to accomplish, this very much does go against the grain.
It absolutely does. Paul Breitel of ESPN Lacrosse, Wisconsin. Follow him on Twitter at @Paul_Breitel. Covers the Packers for them. Does an amazing job. I always enjoy having him on. You can check it out on your Odyssey app as we stream live right now, or on YouTube. Like us, subscribe to us, share us, all that fun stuff. Let's talk about the defensive line. Lucas Van Ness, in my opinion, had one really good day of practice in training camp, which was great. But if you're giving me an option of I can have anybody I want starting at end opposite Rashawn Gary, it's Brandon Cox Jr. for me. Paul, what about you?
Yeah, I mean, Brandon Cox has been really, really impressive this summer. And I will say, I think Lucas Van Ness has been as well. I mean, what I would say about Van Ness is what we saw was far more consistency from him, where there was a steady getting into the backfield, a steady playmaking presence throughout the summer. And when it comes to, again, hopefully that carrying over into the regular season, I think the steadiness, consistency is something much greater to hold on to than, you know, those big splash plays or big splash days here and there. I think that's more of substance when it comes to what we can hopefully expect. I think with Van Ness specifically, and Gary's talked about this, Kenny Clark has talked about this, but being in year three, I think there's this understanding of obviously his role and responsibility, but how to respond. I mean, he came out of the draft very, very raw, fewer than 1,000 career snaps at Iowa, most of which came at defensive tackle. Everyone knew there was going to be a learning curve, and Gary talked about how for him personally, it was that third season where he felt comfortable, right? And not just in what his job is, but, all right, if the offensive lineman's going to do this, here's how I'm going to respond, you know, developing that secondary move to counter how the offensive lineman's countering you. And from the sound of it, it sounds like Lucas Van Ness is kind of in that state right now. And then again, there's the added comfort of being in Halfley's defense for another year, the roles, responsibilities that come with that. So, again, I know we have to see this ultimately take place in the regular season. Otherwise, it doesn't matter what happens during this time of the year. But I am bullish on him, again, just because of what we saw consistently throughout the summer.
A lot of praise, Paul Breitel, of Tyron Hopper and the improvement he's made from last year to this year. When Cam started, Simmons was in front of him in the depth chart. Hopper now seemingly has passed him there. How much of a role do you see him playing in this defense? Does he surpass McDuffie next?
I think that's what the Packers' hope is, but I think going into the early portion of the regular season, I would have him as linebacker 4 on my depth chart, and I don't know how much we're going to see him in games. And my reasoning for that is because for most of his reps this summer, they came at middle linebacker. Like, you could tell there was a concerted effort on the Packers' part that, all right, here's where we're going to get him ready to play. And so when he was out there with the second team defense throughout the summer, he was the middle linebacker, calling the plays, making the pre-snap adjustments. And like you said, you really saw his growth with that, and then he brings just this level of physicality to the linebacker position, as we saw in a couple hits as well. He did get some reps at outside linebacker with the third team defense, so it's not as if the Packers aren't trying to cross-train him. But like I said, he was working mostly at middle linebacker. So when it comes to playing time, that's Quay Walker's role. And that's going to be Quay Walker's role in this defense. We know that. So I just don't know, because, again, of how much they worked him at that position, how many opportunities he would get, you know, replacing McDuffie, who's filling that Sam and Will outside linebacker spot.
Could Quay slide over and replace McDuffie with Hopper in the middle?
I'm never going to say that that's not in play because of the versatility of Jeff Hafley's defense. And we saw it last year, not at linebacker, but just throughout the defense, his willingness to move guys around, to throw different looks at opposing defenses. So I'm never going to fully say that that's off the table, but I would say right now that I'm not going to anticipate that. I think the Packers, based on what we've seen this summer, are fully committed to Quay Walker being their middle linebacker. I know the injury late last season against Seattle derailed things, but there was a month stretch where he was playing some really, really good football. And so I think they're very committed to him filling that role, and they're going to lean on him to do so.
Yeah, but if that's the case, then why does he have an extension? If they're so bullish on that guy being the guy, then why hasn't he been extended? Because at this point, if we're being honest about things, as well as Hopper is playing, and if I'm Walker and seeing how well Hopper is playing, and I still don't have a contract extension, I might be a little bit concerned here.
Yeah, I think when Brian Gutekunst made those comments earlier in the offseason, and he said it a couple times, right? We want Quay around for the foreseeable future. You know, I think for the most part in Brian Gutekunst's tenure, when he says something that definitive, it ends up being true far more often than it doesn't. But to your point, you see how Hopper's playing at the Mike linebacker position, and you do start to wonder a little bit if those feelings internally for the Green Bay Packers or start of Quay Walker are now starting to wane a little bit because of what they see from Hopper. I think the big thing, because Quay was coming off of the ankle surgery, getting him back into the mix, I think these first few months for Quay in terms of securing that extension are really going to be everything. You know, we've seen with other players, I think David Bakhtiari was around a November extension. Elton Jenkins was a December. So we've seen the Packers lock these guys up fairly deep into the season. So I could see these first few months for Quay being, when it comes to an extension, a bit of an audition, right? Can he pick up where he left off last season before getting injured? And if so, then I think if you're the Packers, you might take the sure thing in terms of what he's showing you. And you always have the flexibility to move Hopper around. But if he's struggling, then maybe you go into the offseason and kind of see where Tyron Hopper might take you.
Packers beat writer Paul Bredel joining us from ESPN Lacrosse. Follow him on Twitter at Paul_Bredel. Give me a surprise cut that maybe nobody's talking about.
So that's a great question. And as I was putting together my roster prediction, I was trying to look and find who that player might be. And I'll be honest, it was difficult. The reason I say it was difficult is because there's so much continuity on this roster, right? Like, it felt like coming into this season, there really weren't that many roster spots that were up for grabs. So I don't know if it falls in the surprise category, but left off my roster, I had Mecole Hardman left off in favor of Malik Keith. I had Isaiah Simmons left off in favor of Christian Welch. And I guess maybe one surprise that I could throw out there is Jacob Monk. And again, his play, like I mentioned at the top of all this, he struggled during preseason in training camp. So I think the surprise element would be that he is still a year two draft pick. And in terms of how the Packers typically operate, moving on that soon from a player, that early in their rookie deal, I think would be the surprise element to it.
There he is, Paul Bredel. Again, follow him on Twitter at Paul_Bredel. Paul, thanks so much for coming on, man. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Sparky. Appreciate it.